This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and Larry. That joke will become evident a little bit later on. I'll get into that in a second. Thank you to everybody for supporting this podcast, whether it's through Twitter or my Patreon supporters. Really appreciate it. Everything that goes into making this podcast is all because of you guys either talking to me on Twitter, supporting me financially through Patreon. You can find links to all that in the show notes. But completely listener-supported podcast. Talk a little bit more about that after this sit-down with two great guys from SVS, Nick and Larry. I had an absolute blast talking to these guys. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. I have something special to tell you about after we sit down. So I don't want to take up too much more time. I'm very excited for you guys to hear this. I had so much fun. SVS is great. Check them out on Twitter at @SVS_sound, or you can go to their website, SVSound. It's actually SVSOUND.com. There's no second S there. And you guys know who they are, but I wanted to know what goes into testing their speakers, their subwoofers. They have great, great stuff. And you'll hear in the interview, I'm like completely nerding out. I have so much fun. Larry knows his stuff. Nick knows his stuff. Let's get into it. Okay. Let's just get into Nick and Larry. So much fun. I'll be back afterwards to talk to you a little bit more, but yeah, let's get to Nick and Larry from SVS.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up, DJ? How's it going, man?
I'm doing
fantastic.
Good. Doing good. Nick, Larry, nice to meet you guys. We talked briefly ahead of time and I'm very excited about one particular thing we talked about the other day. I want to tease that out a little bit, but I'm very, very excited about this one question that I have for you that I didn't even know I had until I talked to you guys yesterday. Let's get right into this. I want to ask each of you, how did you get into home theater and how did you land at SVS? We'll start with
Larry.
That. Easy.
Yeah, I'll let you go first there and I'll follow you up if I can.
All right. Well, I'm Larry. I'm the national training manager for SVS. And it all started for me, I guess, back in like 94. I was really heavy into THX at the theater. And we have a really awesome United Artists Theater. It was right up the street from my house. And we go every Friday night as a family for years, going back when I was like 5, 6 years old, and see whatever came out. And then got a job working at Six Flags over Texas here in Arlington. And first paycheck went to Best Buy and I bought a home theater in a box for my bedroom. And it was an Iowa 5.1 system. And I still have the receiver sitting in my garage. Just, I don't know why, I just do. And I would buy all the THX videotapes and then progressed into DVD and CD. And then I eventually worked at Best Buy. And so started that in 97 and enjoyed selling, interacting with people, cameras, audio, video stuff. And progressed into training and worked for a couple different companies, including Panasonic and Monster, and created trainings for other brands in my years. And about 6 years ago, a recruiter reached out to me and said, "Hey, there's this audio company looking for a trainer. And based on your resume, we think you'd be a great fit." And I started talking to him and he wouldn't tell me who it was until after the first interview. And
Then
I looked up SVS and I couldn't find anything bad. And I think that was like, okay, I knew a little bit about them because I'd seen some reviews and stuff, but I'd had other companies that had recruited me that morally I didn't want to work for or had a lot of negative vibe. So I got brought on just under 6 years ago now. I actually started on a leap day. And so we'll never forget. But it's just been a cool ride. And now I'm the national training manager. So I work with all of our retailers across the country and across the globe to educate them on our products, demos, work with our consumers, do events and all kinds of cool stuff. So I'm just an audio geek, a movie guy. And with my boys, we love watching movies and playing games too.
Oh, wow. You sound like you have my dream job, but you're way, you're way smarter than I am.
Well, it's a lot, but it's also quite a bit of fun. Nick and I get to travel the country a lot together. Not obviously recently, but yeah. I would spend about 2 to 3 nights a week on the road 40 weeks a year. And it's not for everybody, but no. I got to interact with a lot of people and do a lot of really cool things.
Go That's to a awesome. Lot of movies.
Yes, I would go to movies every night I was on the road. So my movie collection at home is pretty awesome. And what I would collect when I was out on the road going to the theater was fantastic too.
So you're actually going to the movies, grabbing that information in your head so that you can compare it when you come back to review your speakers.
Well, I would eventually buy it on disc. Yeah. And I've kind of got an idea after I've seen it in the theater. But I also like talking about the experience. Because, you know, we're all movie guys. You know, I see the poster behind you. We're all movie guys. And having that experience that you get in a theater is very different than what you have in the home, but we can get you really close. And that's really what I talk about a lot, is getting that experience. And I loved it. When I was younger, I loved going to the movies. When I got older, I loved going to the movies. Taking my boys to go see stuff, we really enjoy that.
I need to have you on monthly.
Oh, I can talk movies. I got a stack of new content over here.
And that's what this podcast is about. When I founded this podcast, everybody talks about, and you've been on AV Rant, SVS has, I don't know if it was you guys in particular, but SVS has been on AV Rant, HT guys, and we always get into, or they always get into the specs and what your speakers do and stuff. And I always wanted to hear people talk about particular movies, like what did you get, and that's what I wanted to do, and that's exactly what you do, Larry. I'm like, it's like, and that's the open of my show. It's about the experience. I say it's about the experience, the sights, the sounds, and the scenes. And now I gotta say, and Larry. So I mean, you probably have way more. I'm just winging this over here, and you're making a living at it, which is, that's amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I curate all of our home theater demos, and it's a process, but I sit down here. This is my office / game room / just dumping grounds of collectibles and stuff. And I will sit here with a disc and I will time code demos. And it can take a long time. I've got an Excel spreadsheet that has it all too. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. So Nick, how did you get started?
Well, I had a slightly different path. I was in, not totally different though. I was in college and living with some guys in an apartment down in the basement of a building. And anyone who's been on a college campus might be familiar with those white vans that would come around with the big box speakers.
I just talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I have these. They're normally $1,000, but you know, because you're here and I'm here, I'm
on the side of the road
for $250 exactly. And so, fortunately, my roommate was the quote unquote fortunate one to be able to come across this quote unquote opportunity. And so he invested in a couple of these speakers. We brought them in, and they're not terrible. Like, let's not get crazy here and call them, you know, anything audiophile quality or however you want to frame them up. But it was certainly better than the TV speakers that we were listening to at the time. And so this was sort of the start of a path to, you know, the realization that sound quality truly mattered and that you could get a lot out of it. And some of the nights were spent, you know, blasting Two Live Crew and things like way too loud, trying to annoy our roommates and whatnot. But, you know, we really started getting into movies, and I can remember watching Pulp Fiction and a bunch of these other sort of movies that I never realized were as intense as they were and could draw you into to the extent that they could because of these white van speakers. And then fast forward, you know, I guess about 10 years, I got a job at a PR agency repping some really high performance audio brands, Krell, which is more of a hi-fi like 2-channel brand, but also Martin Logan, Paradigm, and some of these guys as well. So I was able to go to trade shows and then see sort of that ultimate experience, you know, that you could get from these sort of multi-channel surround sound solutions. And then, you know, after that, I similarly got recruited by SVS. We were actually repping SVS at the PR agency, got to know the SVS family a bit. And from there, it's sort of been just magic. I've loved working for them, and I head up now their marketing. I'm the VP of marketing for the company. And, you know, I don't get to do as much of the experiential stuff that Larry does, but I get to talk about it a lot, you know, on social media and through blogs and things like that. So it's still cool to be able to take some of the work that Larry's done, curate it, put it out on some of our content feeds and share it with the rest of the world. So like Larry, I just have fun doing what we do and bringing these experiences to people. And obviously our products sort of speak for themselves as one way to really get the most out of all this content that we love talking about.
Yeah. It is funny though that most of the internet and most of podcasting, it's everybody wants to upgrade their stuff. I was having a conversation today with somebody on Twitter or an email or something, and it's home theater is all about compromise, right? It's like, because we, unless you can absolutely afford the best thing, so we're always looking how to improve or how to get rid of the next compromise. Like, all right, I can't have Atmos, but how good can I get at 5.1? And what can I can get some up firing. That's a compromise, this and that. But how many people, we need more people talking about the scenes so that we can show this stuff off. And I want, we're going to get into your subwoofers because that's how I found you guys. And I want to get into some scenes because my beginning, when I started this podcast, I never thought I would be interviewing people. I never thought I'd be talking to people. I didn't think people were going to listen to me, to be honest with you. And when I started to get the idea of like, maybe I could have people in to talk about scenes, it's not a joke, not a lie, because I have you guys here. You guys were the first ones I thought of because I love your subwoofers. Talking to your company, going through when I was buying my subwoofers, you guys were so awesome to me. That was the experience that I had just buying them. I wanted to get inside and see, talk to some people about some scenes, just about subwoofers. And then your, you know, Prime Elevations came out. So I'm like, let's start with the Prime Elevations. And what do you do? What scenes do you have? Because on your website, you have some stuff for the top five scenes for subwoofers and stuff, right? How do you test your Prime Elevations?
it's a fun process. And you know, with all the content that I've got, some of my favorite ones, you know, I think everybody goes to Ready Player One. Mm. Everyone knows the big race sequence. And if you really dive into that one, I think what makes an Atmos experience really cool when you're watching that particular movie, it's Chapter 2. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everybody's familiar with that, where the big race happens at the beginning. And there's a sequence about halfway through the race where King Kong is chasing down the DeLorean.
Yeah.
And if you're in a conventional 5.1 or 7-channel surround experience, you hear King Kong and you hear T-Rex and you hear the other cars kind of around you. But if you have a height effects experience and you can do object-based surround sound, and that's where the elevations come in, you not only hear King Kong chasing you down from behind and then everything happening in front of you, but you actually hear him breathing on top of you and kind of roaring down on top of you. And then when he jumps and slams his arms down to break the bridge in that particular sequence, you get that whoosh from all around and coming down on top of you. And that's one that we do at all of our events. Another one I really love doing is Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Okay.
There's a sequence in there. It's the first one with Rebecca Ferguson. And I want to say it's chapter. No, I don't know. I've got my spreadsheet here, but I know these because I do them so much. there's a sequence where Tom Cruise had just been killed and was revived by Simon Pegg. And they go out and they get into a BMW and are riding through this little small kind of Moroccan style town. And they're being chased by about a half dozen motorcycles. And if you have a height effects experience set up in your room, as the camera perspective changes from the motorcycles to inside the BMW, the entire audio field changes. You actually get this elevated experience when you're inside the helmets or kind of outside the helmets of those people on the motorcycles, and then the kind of silence that occurs inside the car. And you get the things kind of going by you, but there's a scene where they run into one of the people on the motorcycle and you actually hear them roll above you because you have those height effects. So there's so many sequences, but those are two that we do a lot.
And DJ, if I could add on from the product development standpoint, you had mentioned the term compromise. I think when we set out to design a speaker that could do Dolby Atmos, you know, we looked at those toppers, the ones that sit on top of a tower speaker or, you know, bookshelves, and they sort of beam the sound off the ceiling. And theoretically, it bounces off the ceiling, reaches your ears and convinces you that you're hearing this height effect. And we tried every possible configuration to make sure that worked. But there's a couple little secrets around that that a lot of people don't know. One, that the speakers have to be frequency response limited. So you're starting with a narrower bandwidth of sound that you can actually work with. And two, you know, you have vaulted ceilings, you have architectural effects, you know, track lighting, whatever it is, that can disperse that audio signal in all different directions. So we're like, you know what? We are not going to make a compromise solution. We want to do something that is easy to mount on a wall or on the ceiling, but it also is direct radiating. So there is none of those anomalies that can sort of send the audio signal or the sound in all sorts of different directions. And that was really the crux of why we developed Prime Elevation. And then when we designed this ridiculously easy mounting hardware that allowed you to put it on a high in a sidewall or directly on the ceiling, it sort of was icing on the cake. And that allowed us to really come through. And it's become our most popular speaker because, one, it's very neutral, so it can be mixed with different brands and surround sound setups who don't have a similar solution like the Elevation or a suitable Dolby Atmos speaker. But then also it's just so easy to install. So I think, you know, for people thinking about cutting holes in their ceiling for in ceilings or, you know, needing to do extensive mounting brackets and things like that, it just makes the process much more easy. So, you know, Larry loves to test out these things with all sorts of different content, but, you know, it was really sort of an epiphany when we were designing them as far as the ultimate end result we got.
Are you guys, in my recollection, you guys are the only ones with a surface mounted ceiling / wall speaker, right? I don't know of
there's a few out there, but most of them they're actually toppers that you can mount on the wall.
They have that frequency limitation, but now you're just mounting them in a different place.
And the other perk of the Prime Elevation speaker is it's designed like all of our other speakers, where if you look at our speakers, you'll see that the tweeter is slightly outside of the cabinet. It's a little extruded. And what that creates is a wider sound stage, a wider imaging effect. And if you look at all of the products that are designed as a topper, as Nick was mentioning, they're required to be frequency limited, but they are also required to have the tweeter at least an inch below the other driver in that configuration, so that once they're sitting on top of a speaker, there is no dispersion into the room. It only goes up. And if you have that occurring and it's something that's mounted on your wall, this is why ceiling speakers, we're not great fans of those, because everything's recessed. So they pretty much shoot straight down. But if you have a theater experience, so I bring this up every time I talk about the Elevation. When you go to the movie theater, where are the speakers? They're on the side walls, they're on the ceilings, but none of them are in the walls or in the ceiling.
Right.
They're direct radiating angled at you. And that's the exact design philosophy behind the Prime Elevation is we want it to be on the wall, aiming into the listening position. And because it's a full frequency speaker, you get more. It's not limited to 120, 150 hertz like a lot of other products out there. It can go down to 80 hertz if you want it to. I typically put them about 90 and allow some of the explosions to come through there. The King Kong references we were talking about earlier, some of the monsters and stuff. And it's not just background noise at that point. It's a true experience.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that. It's like that's a great point of when you go into an actual theater, even your Atmos speakers, they look like these big speakers mounted on the ceiling, bracketed, and then they're literally just aimed staggered all the way down on the ceiling at you. And I have in ceiling in my theater, but my ceiling is a little lower, especially since I put a riser in the back. So I didn't, that's why I went with those. But I love that point though. I didn't even think of that, that's a great point. And that's awesome.
They're great for even in small rooms. So this room I'm in here, I'm in a bedroom of our house. That's just kind of an extra room that we didn't need. And so I've got a 5.1.2 system in here with towers, some satellites in the back, a center channel, and a pair of Elevations on either side of me. And, you know, it's a 7.5-8 foot ceiling. So it's not real big. And the room's maybe 12 by 13.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic experience. So it's a tiny room. Yeah. It's just a bedroom.
But, oh, yeah.
In here, I have that experience. I have our powered bookshelves on my desk with a subwoofer, and I have a two-channel system on an arcade that's over here to my right. So I've got 11 speakers in here that we can just crank and have a party anytime. But the elevation really changed that experience. And if you look at an in-ceiling option, think about how long that takes to install.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And how much work. And I know everyone says that
sometimes it's not
the
possible.
Spousal approval factor. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'm in a house where the rooms that I have systems are on outer walls. So I can't run a wire through those walls. And so I just kind of cheat it and go up a wall behind something or behind a curtain. But instead of cutting into the ceiling and having to run all that wire, even if you have the wire in place, it's about 10 minutes per speaker to install an elevation.
Yeah.
And if you're in an apartment, you're allowed to mount stuff on a wall as long as you're not cutting into the wall. And these you can do in an apartment too.
Yeah. So I saw you, and one thing I wanted to say while I was letting you finish talk about those couple of scenes, I hope you have a couple more. But
oh, I do.
For people that are just listening and they're not watching this on YouTube, you have to, I know, you know, Larry, you gave it away and saying, oh, I got my spreadsheet up here, but you have to see the look on his face. He gets this, you get this smile, like you're all excited to talk about it, which is awesome. Cause like you start to go into the next movie and you got this little crooked, you're like, oh, and yeah. And then this part here and the overheads, and it's awesome. The passion is just, you can see it on YouTube. Anybody that's not watching, go check him out because he loves this. It's awesome.
I'm a total cinephile. I love the theatrical experience. I love watching movies at home. This weekend, I've got three boys, and they're 10, 12, and 18. And they wanted to watch some horror movies this weekend. So I can't show my 10-year-old something all that creepy, but we watched The Monster Squad.
Oh, yeah.
And we're all in the same ballpark age-wise, I'd assume, and that's one that I grew up with, and watching that, the sound wasn't great, but putting on the emulated surround, it was pretty awesome. But then we watched The Thing, the Kurt Russell movie, with my two older boys.
Oh, okay.
And I kicked my 10-year-old out for that. And my wife didn't want to watch it, but man, the musical score.
Yeah.
And everything that John Carpenter did there, it comes alive, even though it wasn't mixed for, you know, 7-channel surround. We watch that down in the living room and have a similar setup down there. And it was amazing. And here, seeing somebody turn to look because you think you heard something, I'll never forget that. My dad experiencing 5.1 at home for the first time when we watched Zorro with Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
There's a horse that came up from behind and he turned to look because he'd never had that happen at home. And it was awesome.
Yeah. It's so much fun when you have guests in, or Nick told me that you have four dogs. And
I do.
Do they ever look? Because my dogs will start like in my living room setup, which is it's a Sonos setup in my living room. It's a sound bar because it's actually diagonal. So I set up the rear channels way off and almost in other rooms, but it just gives you that feel. And something's going off over there and the dogs are like barking at it. And like, no, it's just a speaker. Leave it alone.
Oh, all the time. Especially doorbells. I think we all know that when there's a doorbell sound.
Yeah.
Or a cat.
Yeah. Cat. So what do you have? What's another overhead scene before we move on to subwoofers?
Spider-Man Far From Home. If you haven't seen that one, it's the last one with Mysterio.
I love that one.
There's a sequence where it's almost like a dreamlike sequence where Mysterio is tricking Spider-Man into that he's with S.H.I.E.L.D. And he's in this building environment, and all of a sudden it turns into this hologram, and you've got Mysterio coming at him with buildings and trains and these huge fists punching him and stuff. But the really cool experience, if you do have the height effects, is Mysterio's in his head and he's speaking and kind of yelling, and it pans around the room and goes up to your top right and then to your back left and to your front stage and back and center channel. And it's just awesome. And then a train comes through and just smashes Peter Parker. Right. And then he's falling down. And so you've got breaking glass kind of shimmering down all around you. And it's one that we also do at a lot of events and always gets a really awesome response because it's probably the most powerful of all the height effect sequences that we play because there's so much energy coming from the height channels. So that's another one that we have a lot of fun with. I think my list is up to 140 something demos. from about 95 different movies. And I don't share the list.
I got one.
Go for it, Nick. Do it.
No. I mean, this one's very well known, but I love Blade Runner 2049. Yeah. I mean, there's tons of rain in that one. There's obviously the drones, lots of flying cars. So I feel like there's just a lot of height effect activity going throughout that movie. And then, of course, Hans Zimmer, who I know Larry is a huge fan. The sound score is really mixed in well with some of the height channel information as well. So you actually get some music and some of that sort of immerses you a little bit deeper. And then for kids movies, I think Coco is one of my favorites as far as, just bringing you a little bit deeper into the action on the screen and what's going on. They have a ghost and some certain elements that, just draw the kids in it. And I think my son really got a kick out of that one, as well as Raya and the Last Dragon, one of the more recent ones. Both of those movies have really active Dolby Atmos height effect channels. So I think Disney's getting a little bit better with their use of these Atmos mixes. I thought for a while they were a little weak, but I think some of the more recent stuff has really shined as far as that goes.
Enough of us have complained that the audio quality, I think, on the Disney Marvel experience is a little low. And I've noticed that the recent releases have gotten quite a bit better too.
Yeah, they have. We were talking today, again, another thing on Twitter, that Sony's releases, I've been saying for a while, it's hard to come up with a bad release that Sony has done on disc. Theirs have been so good. But yeah, Marvel, I mean, we all know Ragnarok. It's just flat. And you're like, but a lot of them have been that way. Even I thought Iron Man was pretty good, but I always thought their 5.1 Iron Man was really good. And then I didn't really get the big jump when they went to Atmos on that you would think you would get a little bit more, wider stage, but you didn't really get it. But Disney is getting a little bit better with that.
But when Atmos first came out in theaters, I went out and saw Brave. That was the first Dolby Atmos thing. And I drove an hour away to go see it. It was pretty cool, but it was just arrows flying. But the first Marvel movie that I saw in Atmos was Captain America. And I think it was Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And drove out to see that 30 minutes away to experience it in Atmos. And I was like, oh, that's kind of underwhelming. And I thought, oh man, Atmos isn't going to be that big a deal. There's not much to it. And then something changed. The studios got behind it. Warner started doing it big time. Spielberg did a bunch of stuff with it. And then you started seeing more releases come out and it's gotten so much better. And I see people comment and enthusiast groups that I'm in that their Atmos experience isn't great. And a lot of the time it will be due to toppers or in ceilings or just improper settings or not watching the right movie. And that's where a lot of it can come into play.
Yeah. There's so many variables in any of this stuff, whether you're streaming it or physical media or what, but there's so many variables that when some bad opinions get going out there or people's, negative opinions about stuff get going, makes it tough. And when sometimes I think, like you said, Spider-Man Far From Home, I love that disc. And when that first came out, a lot of people, I read some reviews on it after I watched. I try not to read any reviews until I've seen the home disc myself, because a lot of times you can get swayed, be like, oh yeah, maybe it is a little bit. No, I thought it was great. And then you start reading the reviews and you're like, what are these people watching it on? So maybe it's exactly like you said, it's those different speakers.
Yeah, totally get that. I mean, if you're watching on a system that's all toppers and maybe driving the speaker settings wrong or pushing too much to your, if you have toppers and you're like a lot of us out there that enhancing the rear channel by bumping it up a lot, if you do that to your toppers, it doesn't work.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of people realize that. So having conversations with those people, I've helped them out too, but it can be the content. It could be the brand of receiver. It could be your brand of speakers. It could be a lot of things that go in and make your Atmos experience better or worse.
I mean, like you said earlier, it could be your room too. I mean, there's a million factors, and it's, the best thing to do is, like you said, you've helped out a lot of people, is talk to the people. And that's what makes, I think, SVS. It's like, if you have an issue, just call them. And, the tech, they'll help you get, I had issues with my subwoofers at one point. And it's like, oh, okay, here, boom, all set. And the same with their, I haven't had the, I haven't used the prime elevation, but you're saying people call up, this, that, and the other thing, they'll work you through it. and it's great. Great. As opposed to you buy another company and they're like, oh, well, where did you, you know, they're not there. They're ghosting you because they're like, oh, yeah, thank you for buying them. So,
We try to be as available as possible to the extent that you can send pictures of your room and we'll be like, that's likely the best placement. Test it out. If not, you know, send me another note. We'll walk you through, you know, potentially other options for it. But it's really an important part of, you know, what SVS is all about is not just selling product, but actually getting you the best solution possible and then helping you set it up so you get the best performance possible. So you're getting the most out of it. That's really key to what we do as a company. It's not just making products. It's getting that best experience possible.
Yeah. When I help people put systems together, I'm in the process of doing one right now. And that's what I'm recommending is SVS for two reasons. One, when you help somebody put a system together, you're their first call when something goes wrong. But if I have you guys, they can call you.
That's right. And we'll be happy, you know, to be talk
like,
to them.
And honestly, it's kind of like what was great about the Harmony remote. Hit the help button, you know, and it's like we all, yep. like you're at work. My wife can't get the TV to go on. And it's like, hit the help button. Exactly. It's like Larry's holding up an old Harmony remote. But you hit that help button and be like, just do what it says. And I can do the same thing. It's like, are you having a problem? And a lot of times when I'm helping people with their theater and like the one I'm trying to do right now, it's like, I want to educate them on the home theater hobby. Like, do you just want a home theater and like be done, one and done? Or do you want to learn how this is going to work? Because unless you have the money to pay an entire crew to come in, which if you did, you wouldn't be talking to me. So it's like, that's what, and then I point them in the direction of, this is how you're going to learn. These guys are great at teaching and, you know, let's go from there. And I love your entry, like the 5.1 system. You start from there, get a good receiver, and then you can build off of that. And that's what I'm recommending. I've recommended it to my last two people that have asked me and one actually bought one. So, I can't recommend them. And I don't want to sound like I'm doing a commercial here, but that's what I do. So,
The Prime 5.1, it's a cool starting point for it. And it's, you know, it's, I don't like calling it satellite, but it's five small bookshelf speakers and our SB1000 Pro subwoofer. Mm. And I'll tell people, jump there. And then whenever you upgrade or go larger, all you do is just take those speakers you were using in the front and put them in the middle as your height effect speakers on wall mounts aiming down into your room.
Yeah.
And then you just throw some towers or bookshelves up front and you already have your seven speakers you need for Atmos. And I'm trying to get my camera to refocus on me. So if you're watching on YouTube, I'm sorry. It's
you'll still see the smile. Camera.
Yeah.
let's get to some subwoofers because I definitely want to get to my question. The one I've been looking forward to. So let's start with Nick. Let's start with you first. Everybody loves subwoofers. Everybody loves bass. What's your favorite scenes that you could think of with bass?
So DJ, if you don't mind, I would like to back up and sort of paint a picture of what a subwoofer should do first and then sort of go from there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's been this longstanding notion that, you know, well, yeah, subwoofers, that's that guy driving by with the car. It's like, and it's big sloppy notes and it's like, whatever. I think that's definitely a gross misrepresentation of what bass really is, especially when you're talking about home cinema. Like you're talking about home theater, that's a completely different flavor than somebody with like 888s in the back of their Nissan Sentra, you know, just trying to impress the neighborhood with how loud they can go. You know, and so really quickly, I'll go through five things that a subwoofer should do. And if it can do these things well, whether it's an SVS or a different brand, like this is going to be a great subwoofer. So one, it should be able to play ultra deep bass. And generally that means around to the 20 Hertz, which anything at 20 Hertz or below is bass you can feel. And bass in general is sound you can feel. So when you're watching a movie with like an action movie or something with a lot of explosive dynamics, it's like that chest compression. It's the air being energized. It's your pant legs flapping. It's all that good stuff that actually allows you to feel the sonic presence of that movie. So that's ultra deep bass. And then secondarily, it should be able to play as loud and produce as much output as you're possibly comfortable with. you know, some people are masochists. They like it to play a little hot and really push the limits of what's healthy for their hearing. And that's fine. And so you need to be able to play at that level. Yeah, exactly. But then also, you know, there's a lot of subtlety in bass as well. And you, even at low listening levels, you're watching a horror movie, you're watching something with a lot of suspense, you'll get that like tingly sensation from bass that sort of like makes you like, ooh, something's coming. Like I got this ominous foreboding feeling that something's, you know, coming up here in a minute. And that comes from that super low bass that even if it's not loud, you know, it's still hitting you. The third one is my favorite, and I think a vastly underrated as subwoofers go, and that's transient speed. That's the ability for the subwoofer to stop and start on a dime. So a lot of that sort of car audio stuff I was talking about are really cheap home theater in a box subwoofers. They're bloated. They're one note bass. It's like the same do 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 over and over without actually articulating, you know, the actual notes and the frequencies that you're supposed to be hearing. That makes it so much more realistic. And then what am I on? Three? Four?
Yeah, you did three. Four.
Blending, seamless blending with speakers. It should make it sound like all of your speakers are producing bass. It's not like you're hearing subwoofer produce bass from the corner of your room. It's like, no, bass is omnidirectional. So each one of your speakers is benefiting from the subwoofer and it sounds like the output is coming from them. And it just blends so perfectly that it makes your, even your bookshelf speakers sound like they're 4 feet tall towers and full range. You know, that's a really critical aspect of what subwoofers should do. And Larry, what am I missing?
The detail and kind of representing what the director and musician intended, I think, is a big one.
Yeah, accuracy and frequency response. Yes. Thank you for jogging my memory there. That means, there you know, similar to what I was saying with the, you know, the output, it's like, it's got to match up with what, like Larry said, the artist or director intended you to hear. So it's not, again, that sort of bloated, sloppy mess that that actually just muddies the soundstage instead of actually making it sound better. So sorry for going off on that tangent, but I did want people to understand what the real value of a subwoofer is beyond just boom, 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 you know, which I think a lot of people sort of assimilate it with.
I say it all the time on this when I'm doing a movie and I'm breaking down a scene and it'll be like, I'm always amazed. Like I have two SB, PB 2000s. And my room is like 18 by 11 and a half with a 7 foot ceiling. And that's plenty for that room. Oh, but yeah. I've just wanted that deep bass extension that I felt that at the 1000s didn't have at the time. So that's why I went with that. They're centered front and rear. And then I have NHT speakers that I've had since the 90s. I just recently upgraded my front channels to the newer ones a few years ago. But they mesh seamlessly. And I'm always saying when I'm breaking down a scene, like it sounds like the thump came from the right rear or something, you know, and you're like that you felt that bass. Or what's amazing, it's one thing to get punched in the chest because that's the room, you know, but it's another thing to feel it like on a shoulder. That's your brain because you heard it over there. You felt something and you're going, wow, I felt like it came from over there. And that's like you said, it feels like it's the speakers doing their frequencies correct and your subwoofers are doing their frequencies correct, meshing perfectly. And then your brain's putting it all together and you're like, hey, it's right there. And it's not, or when bass sounds like it's coming from the ceiling, that's insane to me. And it's like
a lot of fun,
isn't it? It's So Nick, movie, what's the movie now?
All right. I had to dig back for this one a little bit, but this is one of my favorites from way back that actually, really started getting me when I started working at SVS, and that's Hellboy 2. And you might remember the scene with that big tree, the elemental that sort of breaks through the ground. And there's just so much crazy LFE action going on in that moment. And I just vividly remember hearing that as one of my first tracks when demonstrating SVS subwoofers after joining the company and starting to work for them. And I was like, okay, I get it. It's a whole different ball game now. Like I understand, you know, what this is all about. And so that was one of the early scenes that really sort of struck me as really out there in terms of great LFE action.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Larry, what do you got?
Well, I don't think we can do a discussion about subwoofers without me talking about the one movie that our company hates me demoing. And that's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie from 2014.
And okay.
It has a scene, and I'm an 80s junkie, and over here on my shelf, I have all four Ninja Turtles. They're 13-inch tall figurines from the 90s. And know, I grew up with that. Yeah, there you go. So I'm a Michael
right
guy
here,
too.
Michelangelo sitting so, right in front of me.
Yeah, I've got them over here about four times that size.
Yeah, I have and, those too. My son has them in his room.
They're
and he's 24.
Oh, see, then there you go. And my boys aren't. My youngest is into them pretty heavily, but you know, the particular scene. It's I want to say chapter 14 of the disc. And there's a scene where the turtles are in this out of control 18 wheeler going down the side of a mountain being chased by the Foot Clan. And so it's totally absurd. It's a snowy mountain, so they've got no control. And there's two base sweeps in this scene. One is when the truck is being turned because they're trying to avoid an RPG missile coming at them. And as the turn occurs and the explosion occurs, there's this long sweep and it goes across every speaker, but you're going subsonic, well under 20 hertz with this particular note. And then they get kind of corrected and start going down backwards. And Leonardo is knocked out of the back of this truck and gets knocked unconscious. And Donatello comes and see, I know this scene really well. We play the hell out of it, but we upset everyone because it's just so intense. But when Donatello comes in, he uses his staff to flip a Humvee.
Yeah.
And when that occurs, it's another long, it's probably like 8, 10 seconds of 15, 16, 13 hertz, whatever bass, that just destroys everything around you. And anytime we do that at trade shows, we have people coming in complaining and banging on the walls. And Gary, our CEO, hates it because he's just not a fan of Ninja Turtles. But it just upsets everyone because it's a nonstop about a 4 minute sequence where the bass is just killer.
I loved that scene. And that it's that spinning because of the, and like you said, that sweep around the room and that it is, but you getting down into the, like the hurts, the nitty gritty and knowing, and it's like, I mean, you're putting me to shame. It's like, well, I mean, this podcast, I just sit here and go, it was so cool.
I do a lot, and I watch a lot of movies, and, you know, when I go out on the road, I'm by myself most of the time, so I may go have dinner with some guys, and then I go to a movie, and that's my night when I'm on the road, because it's a time to kind of clear your head, or, you know, when you're on a plane, I'll throw on Netflix or Amazon HD or what, I don't know, what else I have here, and watch something. You know, I think we're all probably watching Dune right now and enjoyed that. Free Guy just came out on disc and I bought that, and man, talk about some over the top stuff in there too. There's so much we could talk about.
One more DJ for me. One more. I mentioned my affection for Transient Response as the, you know, qualifier of a great subwoofer. One of my favorite movies for demonstrating that is Baby Driver. There's the opening scene with that insane car chase, you know, where they're shifting gears or stomping on the brake. Like if you don't have a quality subwoofer, you lose all that articulation. You lose the clarity of the notes and sort of the impact that you get from each one of those like moments where they're shifting or stomping and, you know, colliding with other cars. And so I always love to use that one to demonstrate the benefits and the importance of transient speed and that ability to really create a clean bass note in the moment to draw you in, because I feel like that movie, and especially the very first like just 8 minutes of it, are just such a thrill ride, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna be into this. So you know, that's one that I definitely love to show off, not so much for just the massive output and impact, but just that transient speed. And there's plenty of other action going on in that movie too, so it was a great one.
Yeah, I have one for you, and I want to see if you have this, Larry. District 9. It's the scene, it's at about the 12, I think it's, if I remember right, 12 minutes, 15 seconds, roughly. I think that's what I remember it at. And they shut off the engine to the Humvee, or the personnel carrier that they're in. And it feels, not sounds, it feels like when you're in a car, and you shut up, you know, when you shut your engine off and the engine goes boom, 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 and you can feel it in the car. I brought my wife down. I brought my son down. Anybody that was near me, I was like, you got to come down and hear it, because it's not something that you don't hear it. You literally feel it in the room.
Feel it. Yep.
And the fact that they did that is amazing to me, because if you're watching this on a soundbar, you're not getting any of that. you might get a nothing. I don't even know what you get because I barely heard anything, but you can, it felt like I was in the truck and the seat, like the engine shut off. And
oh, yeah.
That's like you were saying, the low, that's really, really low. That hurts.
Yeah. Neil Blomenkamp, the director of that, yes. Is huge on sound. And it's a big part of a thing. He even tried to get to do the new, he wanted to do Aliens and tried to do a sequel and couldn't get it from Cameron. But he was talking about how important the audio experience was and how important the musical score is. And I think we all kind of forget about the music in the movies too.
Yeah.
But it's a big part of District 9.
And the last one I'll do before we get to the question is, just that when I bought my SVS, when I got my subwoofers, my test was the trailer for the last Mission Impossible movie. And do you remember that trailer when Henry Cavill was like cocking his hands, like boom, yeah. boom? And that the bass that they matched to that, I saw that in a Dolby Cinema. And the bass that you felt, and they have transducers in the seats. They have, you know, the bass shakers. They've in the bass in that room, you can feel. And that's in a Dolby Cinema. I wanted to replicate that. If I could get close to that, I knew I had something good. And when I got my SVS speakers, the first thing I found, I tracked down that trailer, put it on. And I was like, because it's not even like that in the movie. But that trailer, and I got it. And I was like, I'm good. I know. I'm like, that's equal to a Dolby Cinema in my for me, for the bass, because when he goes doom doom and they do that way, I think it's three bass notes when he cocks his hands and you can feel it. And I was just like, that is awesome. And it's like, I love
know exactly what you're talking about. That trailer, they mixed the Mission Impossible theme with an Imagine Dragons song called Friction. And I bought the track and I bought the CD the day that came out. And so Jesus. I know exactly what you're talking about there. And you mentioned that I saw that movie. I was in Colorado for work and I saw it the night it came out in Dolby Cinema. And then the following day went back and saw an IMAX because I wanted to see the difference in the two. And the Dolby Cinema experience was just so much better.
Yeah.
But I know exactly what you're saying. I remember telling my wife, I was like, he looks so cool picking up that Gatling gun and shooting it out of the helicopter. And I said, that's something I want to do. That's on my bucket list. I want to be able to hold a Gatling gun and shoot it out of a moving helicopter one day. And she doesn't get it, but, you know.
Yeah, well, hey, we all have dreams.
It's probably the closest you'll get. Sorry, Larry.
Yeah, I'll just watch it a few times.
Yeah. All right. My question, and Nick bringing Larry on, I talked to Nick for a while and he's like, I'm going to bring Larry in on this because this is the guy. And then you told me that you're the one that you train the people. How do you, if I came in there, what would I be experiencing? Because I think everybody thinks they know their home theater. They think they know sound, but you're training people on what to listen for. I know we don't have all night, but how do you do that? And have you ever had to turn people away? Sorry, you're just deaf. You can't hear.
Well, we kind of all get that. And, the way that I do training, so a big part of SVS is who we are as a brand. Mm-hmm. And if any of you have ever worked retail, you've probably gone into a training or, in a job and somebody comes in and just starts. And you're just bored as hell and it's no fun. And so normally a training that I do is about a minimum of an hour or two. And sometimes I do 4 and 6 and 8 hour trainings when we're bringing brand new people in and teaching them about home theater. But we talk about who we are as a brand, how we do things like this, where we're really engaged with our consumer base. Talk about the subwoofer aspects that Nick mentioned earlier. And then getting into the products. And we don't even get technical. It's just more of a, here's the products, here's the speakers, here's the subwoofers, here's the accessories, here's the multi-room audio. Here's kind of everything we do. And along the way, we'll do demos. So if we're talking about the transient response of a subwoofer, I'll have a demo there that shows the speed and accuracy, which maybe would be James Blake, Limit to Your Love. It's a really cool EDM track with some fast bass notes. If we're talking about kind of the deep thunderous bass, I'll bust out that Ninja Turtles track. Whenever we get to blending with a full range speaker system, here comes Hans Zimmer and I'll put on the Hans Zimmer Live in Prague disc and incorporate that. And then we kind of go into the aspects of Art of the Demo. And that's, I think you can hear, that's my favorite part of it, is sitting down, knowing your content. And that's a big part of it. I know we've all had that guy that's, hey, come listen to my system. And you sit him down and you're like, oh, cool. That was awesome. What was it you wanted me to hear?
Yeah.
Because you may have missed it. And that's where we get in front of a group. And I love talking about, okay, I'm going to put you in the scene. And this is what I want you to listen for. And you're going to hear this coming from over here. And then you're going to hear that flying above you. And then you're going to get pelted by the subwoofer, whatever, you know, to find some content you love and do that. And I think my first one was Terminator 2. Oh. That was the first. And I think I've bought that like 10 times because it keeps getting reissued.
We're twins, for God's sakes.
Yeah. So I have a movie right above me is all my Star Wars stuff. Yeah. And, you know, it's having that. And then also like the love of music, too. You know, if it wasn't for music, I wouldn't have met my wife and we wouldn't have the kids and we wouldn't have that emotional experience. And that's something else you've kind of got to go back to, is the experiences you've had in the past and, you know, remembering that and being able to recreate that at home. And that's a huge part of it. And that's part of what I bring to the training. And then we do like a 201 level where we talk about settings and making sure you're setting your speakers from large to small and talk about placement of one or two subs. And that's, golly, there's so much stuff that we go into, but we really get in depth. And then if I work with a retailer who maybe there's a furniture dealer out west that also sells audio equipment. And we went in and did a 6-hour boot camp with them where we introduced them to what is home theater, what is each speaker, how do you set it up, what accessories do you need, and then how to demo it. And it's really cool to do all that. I've been doing it for 20 plus years now, just geeking out. And if I have the opportunity to work with somebody in a store, whether it's a customer or an employee, to engage or geek out, I do it. I enjoy that process.
And I think Larry touched on this, but one of the most important points he made was, you know, the ability and the goal of sort of evoking an emotional response from somebody. Because you can sit there and you can be like, oh, yeah, our subs hit down to 18 hertz. Oh, yeah, these prime elevations, they're direct radiating. It'll be more immersive. But until you actually let them experience it and you sort of paint a picture for what they should listen for. And this is not just in retail settings. This is engaging a significant other, you know, with content that they enjoy. My wife could, you know, isn't the hugest fan of box speakers in the living room, but put on Game of Thrones and all of a sudden the dragon sounds a lot more, you know, fierce and it's bringing you in a lot more. All of a sudden she sees the value a lot better. And so, you know, by painting that picture and being like A/B testing, sort of like, well, this is it with the TV speakers. This is it with the 5.1.2, you know, with the subwoofer turned up, you know, now you really start to get that emotional response where they're gripping the seat or the hair on their arms is standing up. And it's this sense that like, wow, I can get so much more out of these entertainment experiences. And I think that's a part of the connection where, you know, in a retail setting, it's important to make sure they understand the product specifics. But in the real world, it's more about making that emotional connection and finding content that people care about and letting them know it could be such a better experience than what they're currently having, whether it's, you know, a chintzy soundbar or just TV speakers. And not to say you need to have a multi-channel surround sound setup. You can start with a stereo setup with great imaging, and you're still hearing sound coming from various points in space in front of you and around you. So it's really a matter of just, again, showing that there's always a step up, you know, and understanding that you can get these better experiences from, you know, from just incremental improvements to your sound system.
Exactly. I could go on all night with you guys. This is way above and beyond what I was expecting, to be honest with you. I mean, I always have fun. I knew we'd have fun, but oh my God. Larry, you're embarrassing me because everybody's like, we want Larry to do a podcast. Get rid of this DJ character. But you're both talking about the experiences. And for me, when I got into home theater, my listeners know, it was Star Wars. My dad took me to see Star Wars. And because of that, I fell in love with Star Wars and then wanted to duplicate that experience of going to the movies and see. And that was in the 80s. And then, like you just said, Nick, it's like, how do I get even better? How do I get closer to that? How do I even get? And now we're at the point where we're seeing stuff that I don't think anybody saw in the 70s with Star Wars. I mean, to get 4K and the Atmos surround and all that, yep. we're beyond what we even had back then. And for you guys, what was the first movie? Like, if what pops in your head? What got you into home theater? What's your favorite movie that got you down this rabbit hole?
Well, I bring this one up all the time, and Larry probably doesn't like it. But for me,
I like
the
this
one,
movie.
I know you do, but I'm like a broken record here. It's Jacob's Ladder. And this is like, okay. You know, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s. Timothy Robbins was in it. And it's sort of a war movie, but an action thriller, but a conspiracy movie. And the soundtrack was just amazing. And they got helicopters coming from overhead. And this was, you know, I was experiencing this on those white van speakers. And so now I've had the opportunity to go back and listen to it. And it's not in 4K and it's not in Dolby Atmos. So I'm just begging that they'll eventually release it. And I think it's too obscure for it to be on any sort of rush list to remaster. But if they do, I will be the first person to buy it. But that I vividly remember just being on the edge of my seat, watching that movie from start to finish because of just how much the sound drew me in. And it's a great story too, but like between the music and the action on screen and just everything that's going on with sort of the subtle effects, it just really captivated me in a way that no other movie had before.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Trying to think of mine. I think the coolest experience that I remember having, I was with, sorry if you hear my dog, somebody is doing a delivery. I remember when Saving Private Ryan came out and I went and saw that the opening weekend and the theater up the street from our house. It was a big THX United Artists screen and it was full, every seat. And that scene where they're, everybody knows the storming of the beach and stuff. And seeing veterans get up and have to leave the theater because of how visceral and how amazing it was. And even today, I still struggle with that one.
Yeah.
Because I think of my grandfather and stuff like that. But that really showed you the immersion, the experience. Going back, Terminator 2, I mentioned that one earlier. I remember that was unbelievable. Back to the Future. I mean, there's all these things. But, you know, the experience that you have in the movie theater that makes you want to go back again and again and again and again, or watch that movie over and over again, is really what did it for me. And I think that is the one experience in a theater that I remember the most with my family.
Awesome. Awesome. This is, I mean, we're coming in under the wire here. This has been incredible. We have so much more to talk about. You guys have to come back, quite often. Todd is the one that introduced us, and I just talked to him last week at Todd Anderson from AV Nirvana. He introduced us, and that's where I had the white van conversation. We were talking about it, and I'm like, and now you're bringing it up, Nick, and I'm just like, oh my God, 2 weeks in a row, I don't think I've mentioned a white van on this podcast yet, and it's hysterical.
So I'm just curious. He's got a kid who goes to school in Boston. Was his kid accosted by the white van speaker people? Because I wonder if that hustle is still going on. Because I was in school in Boston, I guess, 15, 20 years ago, and that's where I got hit with it. So,
yeah, I don't know, because I did the white van thing in the late 80s, early 90s. So
wait, you were the one driving and selling the white van, or you? Okay.
No, what's funny is my buddy bought the speakers, but I remember exactly where we were. We were on the sidewalk. The van pulled up, opened the side door, and told us, "Hey, you guys interested in some speakers?" And the irony is, I ended up where we bought them on the sidewalk. I ended up renting that house, like, 4 years later when I got married.
Crazy.
But that's how they did it. They just pulled up to you and you were like, yeah, you look like college kids with extra cash. And I went, this was Dean Junior College in Franklin, Mass. And that was a well-to-do school. My mother worked there. That's why I went. I wasn't well-to-do at all. But they knew the kids had money. So they'd pull up, open the door, take your cash, give you your big speakers. And one kid set he blew them up. They caught fire. It was like, we're like, hot speakers awesome. Catch on fire. We're like, all
that's
right.
That's an experience.
Yeah, that's an experience. But and I've known other guys that have done it too. But that's the experience. Is that only in the Northeast?
No, I remember I was younger. I was probably 16, 17, and at a gas station, and one of those guys pulled up, and I was like, no thanks. but
So we're the only dumb ones that actually buy them, I guess.
Yeah. The Northeast. Well, and I never carried cash. You know, I think had I carried cash, right, I probably would have made a really bad decision numerous times, and not just with speakers, you know? So it's, I think we've all been there, right? I never carried more than $20, and it probably prevented me from buying a lot of stupid things I didn't need.
Yeah. But hey, this has been awesome. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Larry. I honestly, I can't wait to have you guys back, because
let's plan another one. We'll get a little deeper into helping people pick out the best subwoofers for themselves. There's a lot of things to consider, and we have 23 different models, so it's not always just that one's the right one for me. So there's some things to think about, but we have a science to it all, so we're more than happy to come back and talk shop and geek out, as Larry
says. I love it. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Nick, thank you,
Larry. SVS is awesome. Just call them. They'll talk to you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it,
DJ. Yeah, our sound experts are a great group of people.
All right. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
See, what did I tell you guys? I had so much fun. Really excited to tell you about some plans are in the works. I'm very excited about this. As you could tell, Larry absolutely puts me to shame. I mean, this podcast is not the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and Larry, because Larry knows his stuff. He has sheets and sheets. And as you heard him say in the podcast, he doesn't want to give this stuff out because he puts so much work into it, and he doesn't post this stuff anywhere. That's part of their training. What we do, what I'm doing, he does for a living, and he trains people with these scenes. I can't wait to get into more of it with him. I can't wait to talk to Nick more about their product and getting more ideas and stuff. I like the idea of their speakers now. I wish my ceilings were higher, because I have, I have in-ceiling speakers, and I have to. I'd hit my head on them from standing at the riser. Obviously I love their subwoofers and stuff, but when I say earlier, and I say all the time to you guys, completely listener supported, that's what I want to be. I've said it many times in this podcast. It's because of stuff like this. I am getting nothing from SVS. I do love their product. I love their people. This podcast is about, it's about the sights, the sounds, and the scenes, but it is about the people. I love talking to the listeners. That's why I added Tuesday in. All of these interviews, they're people that are passionate about home theater. That's how I'm picking these people. Like I said to Nick and Larry, I wanted them on. They were one of my first companies that I thought of that I could talk about, because when I talked to their helpline, they were passionate about, like, what do you have here? What do you have? They don't care if they're on the phone with you. We're other companies. They just want to, can I help you? Okay, can we move along? So they're passionate about it. Kaleidoscape, very passionate. Brett is super passionate. I'm going to have other people that are very passionate about home theater. Very excited for that. That's what I'm having here. The fact that I'm not trying to sell product, I'm just trying to sell people. And if you like their product and you like these people, then you support them in the way you see fit. And that's what I tell all of these companies when I'm talking to them about doing a podcast. I'm like, I'm not your normal people. I don't want to sit here and go, oh, hey, this one here is $17.99 for this, that, and the other thing. No, let's have fun. That's what we're here for. That's what we do with all of this gear. And these guys were great about it, obviously. Now, here's the big thing. They were so great about it. I talked to Nick today. I got confirmation. Just because I wanted to hear it from him, I'm like, Nick, give me a call. I want to get this out right away. I want to have confirmation for this and get your permission. Larry is going to be contributing to this podcast on a regular basis. My plan is to let him know ahead of time what movie I'm going to be doing, and he's going to give me a scene, if he has a scene for that movie, he'll give me a scene, give me whatever little notes he has for that. And I'm going to have him back on a regular basis as well. These are very busy guys. This podcast was particularly difficult for me because they could only give me an hour. And we ended up going over the hour, but the entire time I was talking, we had to get this done in an hour. They're super busy. They're always on the move. They're always, Nick is always moving, trying to get to the next promotional thing to get stuff done. Larry is always training. He's always looking. I mean, I know what I go through and I'm doing it for fun. I can't even imagine what these guys go through. But they're having so much fun doing it. And for them to give me that time, I'm more than happy to. I'm very excited about this. So Larry will be contributing. You know, you've already heard it. You know how he knows his stuff. He's as passionate about this, dare I say, as more passionate than me. I didn't think that was possible. So very excited for that. We'll probably start that up in the new year. We'll give him a list of movies as we get going, and I will just drop them into the podcast. And when he can come on, he's going to be here. So great guys. Been talking to them ever since we recorded a few weeks ago, and very excited for that. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Check out SVS if you haven't, because they are great guys. They have great product. Check it out. And hey, thanks to all my Patreon supporters. Thanks to everybody on Twitter. Let me know what you thought of the podcast. We'll talk on Tuesday. And next week is also the Thanksgiving podcast is coming out with AV Rant and HT guys, Ara, Braden, and Tom, and Rob, and Lee. We're going to have so much fun. We already had fun. I already recorded it. Had a great time. Can't wait for you guys to hear that one. I'm in the middle of processing of producing that one. So, all right. Have a great week, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go push play. Do all that fun stuff. And I will talk to you on Tuesday.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.